Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, the only podcast where there is a coup going on at all times. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rupier.
And I'm James.
Who might also be
trying
to kill
me. I thought you were
Matt too. I was Matt for like 4 minutes, but...
Hi Matt, I'm dead.
I wish I was Matt. I wish I was Matt.
I mean, well, one thing that is happening is this show, like every other episode, is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/nexusatnight and our wonderful $10 patrons like Darren and Cole. But today, like everybody else on in Vanguard Twitter and YouTube and all that good stuff, they have revealed Chaos Breaker Dragon in V-Series and two support cards to go with it. And of course we have to get in on this because this does some stuff. Rootbeer, you want to read Chaos Breaker Dragon?
I thought you were going to read it because you just love chaos so much.
I hate you. So it's a grade 3 for Link Joker, 13k. No force gift. Something to be noted. It's got three effects.
Big thunk.
On Vanarir during your turn, if your opponent has a lock card, he gets plus 10k. Act on Vanguard Circle. Once per turn, you can counterblast one. Your opponent gets an imaginary gift force, and then you choose one of your opponent's rear guards and lock it. And then auto on Vanguard, when your opponent's lock card is unlocked, you can soul blast one. Retire one of those unlocked units. You draw a card. Your opponent removes a total of two markers from his or her circles, or protect, from his or her hand. And you get an imaginary gift force for each marker or protect gift removed. Someone read read the grade 2.
Okay, so Bisection Star Vader Zirconium. When placed, if you have a Star Vader Vanguard card, counterblast 1, your opponent looks at the top card, puts on open rearguard circle, locked. If that locked card was put in back row, draw a card and gets power plus 10,000 until end of turn. If your opponent's Vanguard is grade 3 or greater and they have a locked card, all your Vanguard's critical becomes 2. Original crit becomes 2.
And then this grade 1.
So the grade 1 says,
That's fine.
Okay. Auto on van rear when it grade 1 AK, obviously. Auto on van or rear when it attacks or an attack is boosted, it boosted hits a Vanguard. You can look at top 5 to add a Star Vader from among them to hand. Shuffle your deck. And then it has an act on rearguard circle. If your opponent's Vanguard is grade 3 or greater, you can put them to your soul. Unlock one of your opponent's locked cards. If you unlocked, lock one of your opponent's rear guards other than the unlocked rear guard. There's some things going on. So you have kind of a pseudo colony maker in the grade 2. And then you have this grade 1 card that like unlocks a unit and locks a different unit.
Yeah.
Which, like, why would you want to do that? Well, if you remember Chaos Breaker, when cards are unlocked, you can start popping gifts, right?
Yes.
And draw.
And draw.
And retire.
Honestly, I think that might be the more important one, all things considered.
I think so, too.
The drawing, well, because like
that, yes.
for Zirconium, it's either they cut off the ability to attack by putting it in the front, or they let you get a free card by putting it in the back. Which of course they're going to put it in the back. Why wouldn't they? Also, randomly turns your Vanguard into a force two.
Oh fuck, your opponent chooses where they put the rear guard.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck, I did not realize that. I was put
Yeah. Man, you give a gift to your opponent, but it's like it's essentially the same as if they wrote the Vanguard instead.
Yes.
They can choose one or two. So some decks that'll like benefit from like one more will pick one, decks that benefit from two more will pick two. Like you just play like Night Rose and it's like force two hit you twice with Skull Dragon with a crit. Or like, okay, I'm playing Angel Feather, I'm just going to put Hamiel, and thanks for the plus 10k on Hamiel.
What's cool about the grade 1 is if they're gone grade 3, you can use it with, the grade 2 card. And basically say, okay, we'll place it, I'm going to place it in back row. You're like, okay, I'm going to unlock it, then lock your front row, tie your back row, kill 2 gifts, draw a card.
Yeah, it's a lot of value.
Yeah. It's a lot of value, well, it's just... This is like a 3-card combo with
like
only...
it's not really a choice for them where they put it. Like if you have other cards.
Yeah.
The other thing too is like Craving Claw can't block the front row if there's no front row there.
Yes. It's
just one concern. Not too big of a concern, but maybe against some decks it's a concern.
Some decks are pretty good at clearing out their front row for sure.
Yep.
But I think like the big thing is like kind of need these cards together.
Yes. That's what I've been noticing. I have been playtesting this since it was announced because I wanted to know how this affects the decks I want to play, and it hasn't. Because the ideal strategy of combining all three of these cards together to lock out your opponent's front row requires three cards, and the only thing that definitely searches out Star Vader is the grade one on hit. So you either run as many draws as you humanly can without also sacrificing your power to try and dig through your deck as fast as possible, or you just sometimes sit there missing one of your combo pieces wondering what to do.
I'm guessing the latter is the more common occurrence.
Well, I haven't tried out six draws yet, but yes, that was the common occurrence was, oh hey, I don't have any copies of Zirconium in my hand. Guess I just sit here now.
You can't even lock out both columns unless you have Zirconium and Claw.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that bothers me, like, so I want to preface this by saying that I think Chaosbreaker Dragon is probably one of the coolest cards they've designed in a minute. I think the card is cool. It does a lot of neat stuff. I wish it had been printed like a year ago. There's a lot of like things about this card that are really nice. But the fact that it doesn't have a coherent archetype around it is really bothersome. Like that you can run up to 12 Star Vaders. You get to have 12 Star Vaders in your deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they printed any other V Star Vaders prior to this.
Nope,
I don't believe they did. No.
So you're, you know, you're correct. You know, let me just run some quick maths. So what are your odds on your grade on the grade one to hit anything? So that's, you know, you have 12 hits and 49 cards, looking at five, right?
Mm-hmm. Assuming even hey. Hits. Assuming
yeah, yeah. Hits. So I mean, you're looking at a 77% chance, which is pretty all right, but it first requires that it hits, and sometimes you still miss anyway. Oh, you've also already drawn one, so it's actually one less, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and also, if you don't have any other Star Vaders, then getting another Claw is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Because you're really looking for the grade 2, grade 3.
Yes.
Like, well, because you want literally just one of each thing, right?
Yeah, but it's like, if you have Claw and you have... You have Claw and Breaker in your hand and no Zirconium, that means Claw and Breaker are kind of dead on Claw.
Yeah.
Well, kind of dead. Breaker and Claw can still kind of do things, but, like, it's not amazing.
Yeah. You can, like, retire one front row and lock the other one. It's less optimal, but it's at least something, and you, like, stole two gifts, I guess.
Well, I guess getting another Claw if you rode the Claw isn't terrible, but if you have to call it to rearguard circle and you get another Claw off the Claw, that's like not very good in general.
I'm getting the benefit to the on.
I'm getting like a Toy Story flashbacks because just us saying the claw, claw over and over the claw.
The claw.
Once again, this is all assuming Claw hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of standard, this seems like a very obtuse deck. And I think everyone was so afraid of bringing back the ability to lock the opponent that when they finally did it, everyone's like, oh no, it's the end times. But
now, the real thing is that people saw remove two or steal two gift markers and freaked out.
Yeah. It's like Chaos Breaker on its own is like Matt said, it's like really cool design, really nice card. It's just like two cards, and this is just the problem with collection set in general. It's either generally, hey, you already have an established archetype, let's give you some actually decent support for it. And if you don't have an established archetype already, it's like here are three cards that probably aren't very good and has very big consistency issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one feels it the hardest just because of how much it relies on the engine to do what it wants.
Yeah. Like, Breaker on its own without Zirconium and Claw is like... It can work over a course of turns, but you have to... Without Zirconium and Claw, you have to... Or without Claw, you have to give up essentially a force marker to your opponent for a turn, which is like not... Depending on what deck you're playing against, could be like really scary.
Yeah.
Some decks were not designed to be forced for a reason.
Yeah.
And I do think a lot of the current top decks do not care about this. And they either can take advantage of the force marker definitively, or the force marker helps to bridge the gap of losing one of their circles.
Yeah. This is, of course, like, assuming that they don't get the double column lock. Because even versus, like, a first grade 3 turn Excel deck, a double column lock is still, like, pretty big.
Yeah.
And then, like, other decks, like, you know, I obviously have to mention it, Gavrail, it just kind of shuts it down if you get the double column lock, although we can potentially sack onto, like, what, like, 72k Gavrail with, like, 6 criticals, but, yeah. But, yeah, the force marker, like, let's say versus Angel for the matchup is like, hey, thanks for giving my Hamio plus 10k.
Mm-hmm. When you give the opponent the force marker, because, like, let's say it's their first one, or because they're a protector in Excel Clan, do they choose force 1 or 2, or is it what you...
I mean, it just says your opponent gets an imaginary gift force, so I assume this just follows the normal rules of the game.
So they, like, choose the first time?
Yeah, so if it's their first time getting a gift, they choose it like they're riding grade 3, and if they already have a gift, it's whatever force marker they get is the same type as the other gift they chose. Like, there's nothing about this card that would indicate that it doesn't just follow the normal rules of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people insist on overcomplicating it.
It's just a thing where, like, you know, we've been screwed before. Or not screwed so much as like, oh, this is just randomly different for no reason. And because this is like, it's a first for the most part.
God, Area is... I wonder how they're gonna slap random shit on top of that.
Yeah, good luck. It's interesting that Chaos Breaker Dragon does not have a force gift in and of itself. I don't think it's necessarily a balancing problem so much as a lore thing, which I got this from Gleaming Garmore. You know, Amy, she's been on the show before. So she brought this up when I was talking to her today. She goes, okay, so Chaos is one of the Vanguard units we know the most about from a character's perspective because he literally appears as a character in the last 2 seasons of G, if anyone remembers Noah. He's just being a... And he's basically just this sadistic asshole who loves making people upset. If you've... if any of you've played Danganronpa, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, he's the Enoshima of Vanguard, down to giving people hope so he can take it away himself. Chaos is...
Have you played that? Have you played that?
No, James, I have not.
Wow.
I know he's judging. Exactly. Chaos's lock school skill is basically, here, I got you something. And then when you open the box, it punches you in the face. And then Chaos takes the box back because fuck you. So it's not just a balancing thing where because you can stack up force gifts so quickly. It's a lore reason, which is neat.
I still think balance is part of it, though.
Yeah,
maybe.
Assuming you get Claw and Breaker, getting 3 force gifts on your first grade 3 turn is, like, pretty nuts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Especially since, actually, would you get more than that? Actually, no, you get 2. Assuming you're going first, you would get 2. If your opponent goes first, you get 3.
Yeah.
Which is, like, pretty nutty.
Yeah, I do think this is a balancing thing. They intend for you to steal gifts from your opponent, so they don't want him to make any on his own.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, like I said, I think the design of this card is really cool. Cool mix between both flavor and balance. It's just the rest of the archetype.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. I think it's the lack. I don't think Zirconium and Claw are necessarily bad. I just think they needed more cards to make the strategy more consistent.
Yes. Basically, it would need to exist in an environment where you could consistently lock other cards, like premium or something.
Kind of.
We'll get to that later. Hang on to that.
kind of bring this up as someone who played Chaos in G, and I played Chaos in G like even before we got that one wave of Chaos support that started like making it become meta. So back when we only had like Chaos Universe and Nebula Dragon or whatever. Nebula Crunch, Big Crunch, I don't know. Oh, something Crunch. if you weren't playing the Messiah variant, the Chaos Messiah variant, which actually was the better variant, people just don't understand consistency. But if you're playing the non-Messiah variant, you'll find you do a lot of nothing every turn. And that's because the deck didn't really have any killer plays, which is kind of similar to at least kind of what the deck looks like now. But the big difference is that you could so consistently lock both front rear guards. So even if you didn't have very high power gain or whatever, like basically you just strode and attacked with two columns, that was it. You win through value, which value is like, you can see it's kind of here where it's like you get those draws off a lot of the cards or like adding a card to your hand. But the problem is without a good offense, most likely with the one free column your opponent has, or on the turn where they have access to at least one extra free column, because unless you're really lucky, you're not going to keep double locking their columns forever. They're just going to outvalue you in that one turn. So yeah, like as much as like, you know, people think, you know, Chaos is like a very cool deck and all that, it technically kind of wins in the most boring way, which is just in value.
I mean, it's always kind of been like that though, hasn't it? Like even at its most powerful, where it was like ripping cards out of your hand to lock on board, it was winning not because it was like a re-standing Vanguard. It was because that's less cards to guard with.
Well, there's that, and there was also the fact that we got a stride that became fucking ginormous.
Oh yeah, that too.
And that's like well, that also brings up why the whole Chaos Messiah variant was actually better than pure Chaos, because you actually had that finishing turn. Because the thing with like back in the day, and a lot of people argued, hey, Chaos, pure Chaos is better because it's more consistent because you can run pure Star Vaders, and you run an extra locker that was also pretty good. But the problem with that is, like, against certain decks that could outvalue you without attacking, so decks that just drew a lot of cards and stuff like that, especially ones that had ways to put cards back in the deck, you can just lose just because they outvalued you, or you didn't see your PGs. Versus Chaos Messiah, you did slightly worse in some matchups, but those matchups you did slightly worse in are like the rear guard dependent matchups. So like the matchups you already had a really high win rate on, but then it suddenly boosts your win rate against decks that are like very Vanguard focused or really high value decks, because now you have this big burst turn to win. So yeah, it is very value, but we see that like in G era, when you added like something to give it some burst to it or some big final punch, it becomes a lot better. Which right now, I'm not that familiar with Link Joker cards, but it kind of doesn't have that, and it also doesn't have the sheer locking power of Ultimate Chaos.
Yeah. Like, in my playtesting so far, early numbers are weak because you don't make any gifts of your own, so...
Did you test with the...
You can't activate Zirconium. Nothing is really gaining...
Did you test with Bermuda going first, or no?
I've tested both ways.
Okay. Yeah, because you kind of need... Kind of need Claw to stop them from abusing those gifts first.
Yeah.
Because Chaos Breaker is surprisingly gentleman. He'll let you do first, unless he has Claw.
See, the problem is I kept not drawing into my combo pieces, so even down a column, Bermuda just kept smashing Chaos.
That's a pretty big deal, especially with how quick the games end. That one lost turn where you give your opponent extra tempo for having that one extra force gift that turn might be really huge.
Yeah, so yeah, early power was bad because Chaos Breaker was the only card gaining any power. You know, Zirconium.
You came with Zirconium, assuming you have him.
Yeah, that was one of the problems is I didn't. It's just, yeah. So early power was a bit of a problem, only being three attacks Like, the deck really wants to, like, lock down the board and just keep stealing gifts to win by attrition, but...
I guess, in theory, the gifts will eventually give you big powers, but mm-hmm. it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
Which, I voice this opinion a bit, where I think maybe this engine will be good in the future if the meta somehow gets slower, and, like, you play this not in its own deck, but as, like, a possible play to just blow up your opponent's gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might end up being pretty good in the future, maybe.
Yeah, either that or they make more Star Vader support.
That too, which I'm terrified of, because you know Bushi would have.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just going to say, hey, our Chaos Breaker stuff wasn't really good anymore. And then they're like, okay, let's print Chaos Universe in Standard. Except
well,
it's a grade 3
that
you can
reuse
every turn.
Yeah, it depends on what their future plans are.
Mm-hmm. Which we will find out in 2 weeks, but as of right now, maybe in the future someone's listening to this and like, God, they were wrong, because we have had some weapons-grade bad predictions on this show before. So that's not nothing...
Nah.
That's nothing new for us.
I mean, none of us are really standard Link Joker players, so...
No,
yeah,
we're not.
We could be missing stuff. We could be missing stuff.
Well, that's the other problem, is because this is the first time locking your opponent's cards have become a thing, everything is like, they have a face-down card in the bind zone, or their vanguard is deleted, or if you unlock one of your own cards, or if you have a locked card.
Yeah, so it's like it's a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea, like, the only things locked in were not Schwarzschild, Gravity Collapse, because you can ride into Chaos early, which I'm in the process of playtesting against Gurgurt right now. I'm just goldfishing on my own,
okay.
But...
According to how that card spiked, and I think that is not the right card to play in the Great Goose slot.
Interesting.
I feel like there has to be something better.
I've been looking, but I have not been able to find anything, and I will say... Gravity Collapse is kind of a mistake, because I'm playing against Gurgurt right now, and rewriting into Chaos means Gurgurt gets his grade 2 skill. Or
yeah.
His grade 3 skill.
Oh,
I mean, my big thing with, like, against Gravity, or multiple big things against Gravity Collapse, is number one, it has to be on Vanguard Circle and it must hit. Other than that grade 2 turn, it doesn't really...
No, it works on Rearguard.
It works on Rearguard too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, bet that wrong. But wait, no, but you call it onto your board. You have to call it to where the unit is, so you can't rewrite it.
No, ride or call up to one grade 3, it does...
Onto this unit circle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You cannot rewrite onto it. You can, like, call it to the rear ride circle,
mm-hmm.
which is, like...
Infinitely worse.
Way worse. Also has to hit. I mean, it's nice, because it potentially it's a multi-tech, but it's not the greatest. I guess it's not completely awful, because you don't really want to rewrite CBD that much, except for Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, I think what most people are kind of getting at is, like, you're on Gravity Collapse on grade 2, and you hit, then you're out on the Chaos Breaker. Okay, so what's Chaos Breaker going to do that turn? It's not going to get the plus 10k, because it can't battle anymore. It's not going to be able to lock anything, because you're not in your main phase. And when you're You can do the still the retire, lock, destroy, gift thing, but, like, for example, if you don't have Zirconium, then it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's only good if you hit with it and you have Zirconium.
Yep. And even then, if your opponent knows the matchup and just didn't give you a counterblast going into grade 2...
... What?
Well, you just can't do anything because you don't have Counterblast for Zirconium.
Oh, right.
Like, your turn 2 is just kind of dead.
Yeah. So I think Gavik Collapse is, like, not terrible, but I want to believe there's better options for grade 2.
Like, I've been trying. I just can't think of anything because all of it is, like, deleter-specific or asking you to have locked cards on your side of the board.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the grade 2s aren't bad, they're just too specific.
Yep. Like, I'm running
If the grade 2s are really that specific, then maybe Gravity Collapse,
yeah.
But I don't think
it's... Yeah. I mean, the only thing you can do is, like, generic cards that bind your opponent's rear guards, which... The previous game that I was testing in right before we started recording, that screwed me over because spending counterblast binding the opponent's cards was a bad idea. Mm. I ran out of counterblasts and just could not do anything.
That is awkward.
I mean, I guess. Also, just, like, maybe it takes some practice, too.
Yeah.
Chaos is, all, like I said, it's always been, like, a value game, so it's also, like, a very resource-heavy game, too, managing resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Assuming you can even get your cards to start playing that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will freely admit that I am probably too dumb to play Chaos. But, like, just trying to unga bunga it for, like, quick first impressions, it is not striking me as a particularly great deck.
Doesn't Link Joker have a card that... No, my bad. I was gonna say Call from the Drop, but no, it locks from the drop.
There is, and we will get to that in a bit. I've been amassing stuff. Matt, do you have anything else to say about Chaos Breaker and Standard before we move on to Premium?
I kind of expected, like, what a lot of the people said about it being not good enough against the decks that can scale really, really, really fast due to lack of ability to find engine pieces, really. I assume it's not really stopping Gurgit from doing that much. And Gurgit gets to take advantage of the force marker constantly. And it's all other kinds of nonsense. So I don't think it has the support in order to be, like, a threat. But I honestly, but we all, I also don't really know where Standard is going.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a big fish in a small pond type deal. Like, it is gonna absolutely steamroll Harry in Standard. Because taking away those Excel gifts, that's their win condition right there.
So,
watch what Kumo is gonna do to Harry now. that's a nice 40k dragon you got there with no sentinels. It'd be a shame if someone brought it down to 10k.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's a thing. Now, obviously, everyone saw this Chaos Breaker, which, by the way, that last effect, the Soul Blaster Retire stuff, the gifts included, that can be during the end phase, which is when cards are unlocked anyway, which means that this thing is...
Question for this, because I forgot the wording.
Yeah.
But when your bonus lock cards unlocks, Soul Blast 1, retire 1, does that mean you can only retire 1 during the end phase? Does it go back to unlock? Or...
It goes, when your opponent's lock card is unlocked, you can Soul Blast 1, retire 1 of those unlocked units.
Draw. Oh, it has to be when your opponent's locked.
Locked cards.
Cards is a plural or not plural?
Locked card singular is unlocked. So because unlocking, that's like a separate interaction every time. So you can do
So it triggers that many times then.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as you have the soul to pay, you can continue to do that. I'm guessing, judging by the wording here, that you don't get the if there are not two gifts to, quote, retire, that you don't get to do that? Or is it...
The wording on this is weird, because it's not what I would expect for being able to retire less than two. It just says removes a total of two markers, and last time I checked, one marker is not a total of two.
What's the wording on, like... What was it?
Okay, the exact wording is...
talking about the stride that deleted gifts. Nebula Dragon, Barrio, and Dragon. It just says remove all markers from your opponent's circles, so the wording is different because it just deletes all of them.
Yeah. So because this says two, if they have just one left, there's nothing to...
Because if they wanted less than two, they would say as much as possible... Like what they do when they force you to intercept.
Or they say up to two or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, if they said up to two, everyone would always just choose zero.
Oh, yeah.
So that I would have expected the wording to be like, your opponent removes as many markers as possible up to two.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so...
But, like, if that's the case...
That's the wording I would have expected based on just their previous wording of cards.
So if you can't remove just one on its own, this actually becomes significantly worse, because if you're going first, you can't Craving Claw Breaker to remove the Force Gift that you gave them. You have to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like significantly worse.
Actually. Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a question people ask Bushiroad and then get like two different answers for.
Of course.
Maybe you'll just get eroded for being too confusing.
Yeah.
The Hugo Errata, no one in the West understood.
But yeah, like, if it means you have to remove two, and if it's less than two, you just do nothing, then that is horrible. Because it means your opponent will always be able to hold on to one marker at a time.
No.
Because you're giving them a force marker and then taking it away. So if they once and then...
It depends on the deck you're up against. Mm-hmm.
Well, because for each one, you remove two markers.
Yeah.
If you unlock two cards in a turn, you blow up four.
Yeah, but what if they have three?
That's true.
Again,
that's really awkward. Yeah, I feel like it's not supposed to work like that.
Yeah, same here. I think they wanted to just remove all gifts as much as possible. It's just this particular translation is weird, and we have no way of knowing how it's supposed to be worded until we get an official translation. Mm-hmm. Unless there is one, and I'm dumb.
Or just ask the Japanese.
Let's not rule out the entire possibility here. No.
I think one thing that kind of bothers me about that's also not in on Chaos Breaker is something to do if they don't have enough gifts to remove.
Yeah, like, that's another thing, is if they wanted it to work that way, they would have also just put clarification text.
Yeah. Like, there's so much nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think that's the worst part, is like, not also the order. A little more clarity on the ordering of, like, when do they get the Force Gift and when do you luck?
Yeah.
Like a word then would make that a lot more clear as well. Instead of it just being, like, get a Force Gift, lock something.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, don't you just do it in order of the text? So first.
But the gift has decisions to be made, right?
Yeah, where to put it, what kind to get, mm-hmm. etc.
Oh, right.
At least the first time.
That's kind of my problem with it, is that it's like mid-ability. Like, obviously, I guess that's how it works. Yeah. But resolve. It still would a then would make it much more clear.
Yeah, I think you resolve it first because, like, a force is an effect, right? It's a skill, mm-hmm. right? Kind of. Not really, but.
Yeah. It's just getting a gift entails all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Which throws a then, so it was clear where it was.
There's a lot of stuff on this card, so I think it's just because there's too much text. They didn't put reminder text.
Oh, like, they didn't have the room for it? I just think it's funny that they have one of each kind of effect, and they're like, okay, what kind of effects does Vanguard have? And you're like, I have the perfect thing to show you.
So the Japanese text is already, like, getting close to covering half the card. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, this is coming close to, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Level, in terms of, like, a card that does this much stuff.
I mean, Ange?
Yeah, that's another good example. But, like, this has flavor text, you know? What if the reason they didn't have Force Gift wasn't just for balancing, it wasn't just for lore, but because his effect was taking up so much room, they're like, we can't put more shit on the card.
Look, it doesn't make sense. It's in the top right corner.
You mean top left?
Oh, my bad. Wait.
Stage right, maybe.
Yeah, left, but... my bad. Yeah. Top left.
Yeah. Now, in Premium, this has captured many of people's imagination, because not only is there a lot more Star Vaders. There are a lot of Chaos specifically cards that have support. The biggest one being Zinc, which is if the it's a grade one. If the opponent has a lock card and your Vanguard's Chaos, you can put it in Soul and Soul Charge 2 and Counter Charge 2, which is huge. That there's also stuff like Photon, Iron, Dubnium.
Photon isn't Chaos specific, but
okay. No, it's not. It's Star Vader. Okay. Iron is Chaos specific. Dubnium is Chaos specific. Sulfur, which is Star Vader Colony Maker, as Matt brought up before. Globuladia, which is what you were thinking of, James, the one that locks from Drop Zone. Also Star Vader. Meleptin locks from hand. Strange Dragon, which is Chaos specific. And also things like Chaos Breaker Crisis and Chaos Breaker Close, which are other grade threes you could be running. This, combined with all of the various strides and such, leads me to believe that I think Chaos might be a thing in Premium again, which makes me sad. Anybody else?
Why does it make you sad?
Because I don't like having cards ripped from my hand to put on the circle is locked.
All I'll say is I still have my Chaos stuff.
It'll make me have to run Fernitus again in Great Nature.
An SGR deluge.
Just be better.
Thanks. I'll be sure to do that. Now, ironically, Pale Moon, I have a better matchup because the Harry Stride lets you pull in lock cards, so you're just like, okay, I'll go ahead and do that.
Yes. We're just going to design this way now.
Question. Harry and Premium, do you use the new Harry or just old Harry's?
I don't know.
Because stage sounds like it can backfire hardcore.
Yeah. In Premium, I've just been running Silverthorns because of the early game, and then your strides kind of finish the game off.
Isn't that just Silverthorn deck, then?
I more mean the Harry Stride, because the Harry Stride was like, on attack, counterblast one, suck in two cards, call out three things. So you just pull in lock cards and then call it a board. And that's splashable in anything. So
what makes this good in Chaos Premium versus, say, the other cards?
So that gift stealing effects. I fucking lost Starbreaker or Chaosbreaker because of all of the cards I have pulled up. There it is, Chaosbreaker. That third effect works in end phase, so you can essentially, like, go into these, like, broken-ass strides that Chaos had from G-Era and still get your gift-stealing effect at end phase.
Yeah. I mean, how many grade 3 turns does G-Era Premium last?
It's usually, like, everyone get, like, you get one stride turn each, if that.
So you steal one gift?
Yeah, about.
If the text even works like that.
Yeah. But I mean, you still...
I don't really play Premium, but I don't know how impactful stealing the one gift is.
Right. But, like, you also have decks that can, like, ride multiple times, get multiple gifts faster.
Okay, that...
Than that's in, like, Premium.
Fair. But I also think it's, like, the timing of it. Because, for example, if you... Okay, let's assume, like, they ride multiple times. So we're assuming they... Are we going to assume they got first stride or we got first stride?
Why not both? One than the other?
Because it's kind of like you take this, but it's kind of like a timing of when you take the gifts. Because whenever you steal the gifts, you're never going to use them first.
Yeah.
If you stride. Which is like, so essentially if your opponent strode first, and then you lost something, and then you took their gift... They're still going to get their second stride before you can even benefit from the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you make them remove it, but I think I'm under the impression that in Premium, a lot of decks just can just kill you without gifts.
Depends. I'm looking at this list that Yellow Card Vanguard put up on their Twitter for premium. It has 4 Freeze Ray Dragon, 4 the new Chaos Breaker. Yeah, it's got Freeze Ray Dragon.
Back cards.
4 what looks to be Chaos Breaker close, 4 Photon, 4 Zirconium, 3 the guy that locks from drop, 3 of the Chaos Breaker Stride Fodder that they got, if you remember that, 4 of the Grade 3 Searcher, 3 Zinc, and then...
Actually...
Looks like...
Kind of make...
8 crit, 4 let's... draw, 4 heal. What?
I have bad. I forgot. I can't believe I forgot, but that Chaos locks a bunch of shit. So probably you won't die that quickly, so you will actually get the benefit from the gifts, probably.
Yeah, especially if, like, okay. If your backup right is Freeze Ray, that can actually, like, slow stuff down. Like, that's a defensive deck, I think. Yeah. And then it's, like, 4 Universe, 2, whatever that other Chaos Breaker stride is, 4 Glue Ball. Yeah, so this thing is going to bring the game to an ass-grinding halt. And especially, like, where Excel decks big, like, Silver Bullet against Link Joker. Remember when V was first coming out, people were like, oh, Link Joker isn't so scary anymore. You can make Excel circles and get around it. That's not a thing.
Nope. Wait, just to confirm, when circles are destroyed, the rear guards on them are destroyed too, right?
Yes, they are retired.
Yes.
There's another list where the guy has, like, that deleter promo that prevents you from turning stuff face up, countercharge included. I don't know. Just go look up yellow card VG if you want to see these lists, because they're certainly interesting. And by the way, this isn't a thing where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play it. I am not excited for this at all. I am not happy that I'm going to have to be playing against these at all.
I'm probably going to make this in standard, just because, unless the linked over cards around it are stupidly expensive, mm-hmm. which they might be.
Yeah, that tends to be a thing with Link Joker.
I'm gonna be truthful. Okay, I've expressed my dislike for the lock mechanic before, but I kind of mm-hmm. wanted these cards to be stupid for one reason and one reason alone.
Mm-hmm.
To show the people I got into Vanguard during Standard was started, how degenerate lock was. I just wanted to make their lives miserable. But now I only have, like, a dice roll chance of making their lives miserable.
Yeah.
They haven't experienced lock. They need to.
You know what you
That's
could
part
do?
Of the reason why I built
What you could do is get them to come over to premium. And then just do that, like, normally. if nothing else, Link Joker's, like, original weakness of dying to decks that can rush them and dying to decks that are Vanguard-centric is still a thing, it seems. You know, your overlords and such are probably going to run roughshod over it. But who knows?
I've noticed that, like, Chaos Breaker's artwork always looks almost exactly the same as each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, if you put all the Chaos Breaker Grade 3s next to each other, like, you can tell which one was which.
It's the AC/DC of Grade 3s.
Always looks the same, but he also looks very cool.
Yeah, AC/DC. Sounds the same, but the songs are undeniably awesome, so. You know how it is. To the people out there listening who... are afraid of this, maybe play against it and see how you feel. Yeah. I'm scared out of my wits, but that's me. Rupert's been playing all day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like kind of winning against Gurgurit right now.
Okay. Kind of. But it seems like a vaguely even match, yeah?
I mean, I think that's the thing with Locke, and also kind of applies to the whole Cradle thing. It's just kind of something you have to... You just can't quite play normally against. You kind of have to play around it a bit. You have to learn how to play around it a bit.
So what you're saying is it's Chaos Control? I did it.
Is that supposed to be a Sonic reference?
Yes!
Yes.
But, like, I don't understand how that fits into what we're talking about besides just making a reference for the sake of making a reference.
That was the point. That's the only point whenever someone makes a reference.
Yeah.
No, congratulations. It should fit in the situation. Okay. Besides the point. Yeah, so definitely something you have to play around with. You have to learn how to play around. So graduate might be kind of like having a setback now, but maybe it's just you have to change how you play. Like Joker has always been like that. A deck where it's like you have to change how you play versus it. You just can't play normally.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because of the way Zirconium works, my first thought for playing around it is to just try and rush early for the decks that have enough aggression to kill at grade 3.
Yeah. Yes.
And for those that don't,
okay,
damage the item.
I have an interesting thought experiment. Okay. I was actually thinking about this. What do you think is better? Chaos Breaker Dragon, standard, of course. But this is all just talking about the standard. And Ghidorah. Because they do similar things, but which one do you think is better? Because Cradle isn't exactly locked, but Cradle is also a very big incentive not to call something there. And then Ghidorah also like gets multi-attacks. And can search the deck for grade 3s that they need. Or the grade 1, because now we have a grade 1 that counts for a grade 3.
I think I would go with Ghidorah just because you have a recourse if no board is called.
You're technically a recourse if no board is called in Chaos Breakers to have Zirconium.
But the thing where you can search your pieces easier and there's like a multi-attack, like there's more of a game plan there.
I
feel like Chaos does a better job of stopping the opponent from playing, unsure of finishing potential yet. Need more playtesting.
It feels like Chaos was definitely designed for a slower meta. Because over time you could really rack up those force markers, but yeah. It's like Ghidorah also like controls. Just you can still get over it, but there's a pretty decently big cost to it.
Matt, how about you?
I'm not sure, honestly. I think what Chaos ends can do is probably more powerful than what Ghidorah can do, but I do think it's more rare. I think with the clan selection support, I think Ghidorah probably has it slightly, but probably not by as much as we think.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it, and I couldn't quite decide which was better, then that's why I kind of brought it up.
Yeah, which is probably not a good spot for Chaos to be in. we're talking about this deck that's been mostly irrelevant in Standard since it came out, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, this deck's kind of on par with that, probably. It's like, oh, that's not good.
I just think the multi-attack portion of Ghidorah and the sheer amount of good grade 3s that you can search out, or the pretty decent grade 3s you can search out, is like pretty strong point for Ghidorah.
Yeah.
And also Ghidorah has like more Cradle things to support the game plan. Block is just so devastating if it can fully go off.
Yeah.
Well, guess we'll have to see, and I leave it to you, the listener. Do you think this is going to be a thing in Standard? How much of a thing in Premium is it going to be? Which one is better? All the questions that we just asked each other, ask yourself, you know? I think that's about a good place to leave for now. This is just our first impressions. We'll have to see how this does once it's released more. Mm-hmm. And
sure enough.
Yep. Thanks everybody for listening. If you want to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/nexusatnight. $5 a month, cup of coffee a month, you get a whole ass bonus show every week featuring the three of us and the occasional guest. Also, weekly write-ups about every single card that gets revealed. Where can people find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
Find me at Plasma Eclipse.
And do I exist or do I not exist?
Mm-hmm. Generally not.
Probably not yet. That's why no one can find me.
He's a phantom.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You can find me at Atlas Novak, Twitter, Instagram, or you can find my other show at Bad Reading Pod in the same places. This week we have, if anyone remembers the backyard sports games on PC when they were kids, we have a crossover.
Oh, do I ever?
Yep. It's a crossover episode with the Tin Can Alley podcast, which is literally just about backyard baseball. So
I didn't even know how to play. I just like chose people and watched them go.
Pablo Sanchez is OP.
Root.
Yeah. All right.
Was he the wheelchair kid?
No, that was Kenny Kawaguchi, and he was a great pitcher. Yeah. But yeah, until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
I'm James.
And have a good night, everybody.